think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
These indictments, and of course, let's remember there are two of them, they are very well founded. And as we say in the law, I think his goose is cooked. Hunter Biden is most likely, barring some kind of a presidential pardon, he's most likely going to be convicted eventually and probably do some time in jail. In his own words, like he mentioned in the podcast, he wrote a book about this. He wrote memoirs, and in those memoirs, he detailed, in his own words, a lot of the salacious information that was quoted by Weiss and his team of attorneys in these indictments.
Yeah, the indictments that were released by David Weiss regarding Hunter Biden are certainly damning to Hunter, but are they worthy of criminal punishment? You were listening then to a response from criminal defense attorney Phil Holloway, as he appeared with Maria Bartiromo, saying, look, there's a lot of things in these indictments, a lot of things that are brought up that are certainly questionable, if not criminal. And at this point, he said they do not look good for Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is one thing. The White House is obviously closely watching the Hunter Biden story, because the concern is, should be, at some point, will Hunter Biden roll over on daddy, realizing, I don't want to spend time in jail. And of course, there's the other question. Will he ever spend a day in jail for things that you and I would be behind jail for a long time? He could possibly get a pardon from Biden before he leaves office, even if he's convicted before then. And Biden could do it on the basis of fatherly love. I love my son. He was caught up in the throes of alcohol and everything else, and it's not right to treat him this way. Riddle me this. How many of you who have relatives, friends, that did something wrong, not to the extent of Hunter Biden, and they're sitting in a jail cell now, or they had to spend a lot of money to stay out? And I will also raise this question, because I know this exists. How many of you have lost a loved one due to somebody who was high on drugs, drinking, or carrying a gun when they're a convicted felon and they shouldn't have been? How many of you lost a relative or friend in a case like that? Now, Hunter did not kill anyone. But when you're on drugs and messed up as he was, and he got a weapon which he's not supposed to have, things could have gone down at some point. Thank God they didn't. But at what point do you say, I don't care that you're my son, you're going to pay a penalty? Now, all parents want to protect their children. You love them. You may not love what they did with their lives or they're doing with their lives, but you don't want them locked away in jail. And despite all the things that we can complain about Biden, I'm looking at him now simply as a father, that he would not want his son to spend his life in jail, because these charges, if they are all put together and he were actually convicted and actually sent to prison, you're looking at a minimum 20 years, closer to 30, from what we know already. And I'm not so sure that there aren't still more to come. But if you listen again to criminal defense Phil Holloway, a conviction is certain on these indictments. They're certain. But Of course, you still have to say, will they actually convict him, and will he serve a single day in jail? Now, Holloway points out, you look at Hunter's lifestyle and what he was doing in the midst of these criminal actions, as alleged, just consider.
He admits that for large periods of time, during the relevant time period that he wasn't paying taxes, he was high out of his gourd on crack cocaine for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So this begs the question, how can someone in that state managed to earn enough legitimate revenue, Sandra, such that they would owe more than $1 million in taxes on it? So all of the things about the lifestyle, the hookers and the women and the drugs, all that is certainly interesting, and that's what people want to talk about. But we've got to focus on the source of this revenue. Where did it come from? Why did it come from wherever it came from? Who knew about it? Who participated and who benefited? And so apparently Weiss is not interested in asking those questions or investigating that issue. So this is going to be up to the House of Representatives to get to the bottom of it. It's the source of the revenue.
It is the source of the revenue. And it's also who the revenue went to when you get down to it. But Abby Lowell is the attorney for representing Hunter, and he says, you know, they're just trying to make something bigger out of nothing.
When they're late or when there's a mistake or when there's something to be done, what the IRS and the government does is they ask questions, they ask for backup, they bring civil actions. What they don't do is take a 2-count misdemeanor in June and turn it into a 9-count, 56-page indictment in December. What had happened with his lateness, why he was, as everybody knows, at the bottom of the barrel of his addiction to crack cocaine, which explains a lot of his misconduct and also addresses whether he was in what they call a scheme as opposed to just being at the, you know, the dullest part of addiction.
The scheme is a scheme, or just he was so dulled by his addiction he didn't know what he was doing? Is that part of the defense that Abby Lowe is now building? My client did this, but he was so doped up, he couldn't be part of a scheme. He couldn't do a conspiracy. He could barely get himself out of bed to light a crack pipe. I mean, come on, give the guy a break. You're going to hear a lot of pull me stories going forward with Hunter Biden. And, of course, don't forget he's got his artwork that's out there being sold by an art distributor. We're not being told how much he sold or how much he's getting for each piece. It could well be a piece no bigger than what I'm showing you here if you're watching us on one of our video stream that he gets $1 million for. And I did not mention in the beginning as we began today's program, but reminding you that we do run a stream while we're on the air from 6 to 8, Monday through Friday, that is available on Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter. If you miss any of it, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you can pull it up and watch it. And watch it at your leisure, replay it, and share it with others. But when we're doing that, we're glad to have you watching live or at whatever time it works for you. But always glad to have you as part of the radio audience. And I've got to tell you, the number of those watching the stream are growing every day. Partly, well, it's all effective because of you. But, I mean, we're also in so many different outlets that we're seeing more people pick them up. So that's good. So those of you watching or listening now as we're speaking, or you're watching and listening later, we're going to hear a lot more of explanations as to why Hunter Biden did some things that he just wasn't really of, should I say, sane mind. If you're a doped up crackhead, you're probably not a sane mind. Would that fly with the criminal prosecution of charges and keep him from being convicted? Phil Holloway, criminal defense attorney, said he's certain to be convicted on these.
being an addict is not really a defense. And if you listen to what his attorney's saying, he's not addressing really the merits of the cases against Hunter Biden, which I submit are very strong. But there's the reference to the earlier case that would have resulted, in this sweetheart plea deal. That plea deal is looking really, really good, I'm sure, now in the rearview mirror, now that it's gone, now that it was rejected by the judge, it allows all of this other stuff to happen. But let's not forget that a lot of potential crimes prior to 2016 are now barred by the statute of limitations. Weiss apparently missed any opportunity to investigate or even charge any of those types of things. So Congress is not bound by the statute of limitations. I think it's incumbent upon Congress now to go back even further and explore whether or not there was, in fact, any kind of pay for play. In other words, was Hunter Biden trading on his father's name, and did his father benefit from it? Did his father know about it or even participate? These are the fundamental questions that are absolutely critical to be resolved, and the nation needs to know these things. Yeah. And so if Weiss is not going to do it, the House of Representatives apparently has to.
So the House of Representatives would not be bound by statute of limitations. They can go back and look at everything Hunter's done at any point. We do know the House is already debating formalizing an impeachment inquiry against Daddy Biden. That is separate from Hunter Biden until at some point they intersect. And that's what everyone is waiting for, a clear definition that they are linked together. Hunter Biden is the weak link. We know it not only because of his past, but probably going forward. Coming up, there are, and I'm glad to say, some encouraging reports out of Israel's battle against Hamas.
You're hearing that these prisoners, these Hamas leaders who are now prisoners, are turning on some of the other leaders in southern Gaza. What are you finding out?
Well, that's exactly what's happening, Trace. And what I'm hearing is this. Yusuf al-Mansi, who's the former communications minister for Hamas in Gaza, has just been interrogated. He was part of that 500-plus Hamas members
right.
who were taken prisoner by the Israelis, surrendered to the IDF because of that pressure cooker, Sir Lachatz in Hebrew, that campaign that Israel's been putting on. For the last 60-plus days. In an interrogation with Israel's intelligence unit, Shin Bet, or Shabak, is literally turning on Yehi Sinwar, the leader of Gaza in the southern portion of Gaza, who's up close with those hostages, and he's calling for Sinwar to step down. All of these Hamas members are surrendering themselves because they believe that Sinwar, who's become essentially the bin Laden of Gaza, they believe that he's absolutely lost his mind. He's bringing Gaza back 200 years into the Stone Age, and Hamas is turning on him, and it's happening very quickly through these interrogations.
That is a very interesting concept, and that's from an IDF leader, Aaron Cohen, speaking about how Hamas leaders are turning against others, and in particular, the general amount of Hamas terrorists are now turning their back and questioning the leadership of the one person identified as the Hamas leader. That is happening. That kind of morale breaking begins to multiply, escalate, and rumble through all the ranks. And keep in mind, while we are concerned about the Palestinian citizens caught in the midst of this fighting, Hamas terrorists are caught inside there too. So if there is no water, no food, no medical supplies, they're also suffering. And maybe they reached a breaking point because they know they're coming for them. And the quickest thing is surrender. Put down your arms. Maybe you won't be killed. We're not on the ground with the Israeli troops, but I would tell you this, that is obviously taking a toll on them as well. When they catch members of Hamas and they know about the atrocities they carried out on October 7th, it takes a disciplined soldier to not start pulling the trigger and not accepting a surrender. But that would be contrary to the rules of war if a combatant is trying to surrender. There's a report from the Jerusalem Post that raises a very serious issue on several levels. It reads, at any point, there's a possibility of a big explosion in the region, not one controlled by either party. Now, when you read that and you read a big explosion, does that suggest to you a nuclear device of some type, suitcase bomb? Well, according to the IDF spokesman, Aaron Cohen, again, he says it more that it's a question of an expansion of the war involving others, not a nuclear weapon. But are you talking about expanding the war?
I think this is all part of Iran's larger picture here. You got the Houthis, you got the Iraq ISIS element, which is also connected to Iran. You've got Hamas. Trace, these Iran is all these proxies. I don't know why we're looking at them as proxies. This is Iran.
Yeah.
These proxies are Iran. And Iran thinks that by using these proxies, we don't see that this is Iran directly targeting U.S. forces, targeting U.S. Partners in the Middle East, including Israel.
Yeah.
And the sooner the U.S. continues to stand back, assist Iran, give them money, whatever Biden's doing, it's a complete dangerous escalation of what could potentially happen in the region.
We're up against a heartbreak. You got 15 seconds for you. Are we closer to the end of Israel's war against Hamas? Closer to the end or closer to the beginning?
I think we're closer to the end. The problem is Biden put the handcuffs, him and his team put the handcuffs on Israel, and they slowed them down. They said they want more selectivity, they want more intelligence-driven operations targeted with more control over the civilian casualties. Trace, we're at war. It's a war in Israel. Man, people get killed. It's very unfortunate. However, Israel's doing the best it can, but I think that Israel's at about the 50-yard line, if I had to guess.
And over the weekend, we did, through our Pentagon, send them some munitions. That could be done without congressional approval. But we have a $14.5 billion budget set aside, money for Israel and its defense, from the House. But Senator Chuck Schumer, a fellow Jew, will not allow that bill to go forward unless they also throw in money for Ukraine. And Zelensky has been in D.C. today, hat in hand, begging for more money for Ukraine. And we got numerous members of the GOP Congress stating, you're not going to get a single dime for Ukraine until you spend money protecting our borders rather than Ukrainian borders. Oh my God, that just makes sense. That's why it's having so much difficulty inside D.C. We don't want to make common sense up here. We'd rather just bluster and fluster. Coming up this morning, there was an interview aired on the station set up by producer Ken Williams for Vic Porcelli and his show. I want you to hear some of it because it involves one of the January 6th defendants being held since January 6th. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well, with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The Supreme Court is considering taking the January 6th appeal that could impact Donald Trump. He's appealing over immunity and double jeopardy because he's facing, apparently, charges regarding January 6th. Four counts in D.C. Everything from defrauding the U.S. conspiracy to defrauding official proceeding. Obstruction, attempt to obstruct official proceeding. He's pled not guilty in all of these. In the meantime, the court is also delaying action on a decision regarding those arrested over January 6th defendants who are making similar claims, and they are still locked up behind bars. Many of them arrested on that very date or within days thereafter. One of them, Jake Lane, was arrested January 2021. He's been in jail now 3 years without a trial, so much for a speedy trial. To that extent, producer Ken Williams here at News Talk STL and producer of the Vic Porcelli program was able to line up an interview with Jake Lane, and it took place this morning.
Jake Lang in a D.C. gulag right now, who has just about all of his, pick all the constitutional rights, he's had none of them. Everyone's been broken. Jake, thank you so much for being with us. How you doing? You okay?
Hey, Vic, God bless you. Yeah, I'm strong in the Lord, brother.
I know that, and I, you know, we talk about you guys almost every day, man, because we know you've had no due process or anything. But let's start from the beginning. You were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. What were you there for?
I mean, we were all there because we wanted to support President Donald Trump. COVID lockdowns and Joe Biden, the Democrats are trying to steal the vote, steal the election from Donald Trump, and we're there to make sure our constitutional rights as Americans were heard, that we each have a voice and we want our vote to be counted. And so we showed up peacefully protesting, and man, the Capitol Police unleashed an attack on us. And you know, most of us are here because we decided to defend ourselves and defend our country instead of tucking tail and running.
Yeah. So so you went there with no intention of being violent. You weren't violent. Then you ended up in jail. So what has been different in how you've been treated than how any other prisoner or somebody that's accused of something been treated? I mean, your due process really was kind of not given to you. Am I close there?
Well, 100%. I mean, we are being persecuted because we are constitutionalists, we're conservatives, we're Trump supporters. There's a two-tier justice system in this country that's forming, and the Democrats are using their political power in the Department of Justice and, you know, through the FBI, their Gestapo going out and kidnapping 1,400 Americans. Those are the people that have been persecuted from January 6th. They're forming a two-tier system of justice where if you have certain political values, you know, conservative values, American family values, you respect the Bill of Rights and you want our government to be small, if you have those type of values, they are going to come after you, whether it be on social media. They're going to try to, you know, as we know, censor you and deplatform you. And that's the small time part of it, but the big time part of it, you know, they can even throw you in jail. They can scoop you up and refuse to give you a trial for 3 years like they have for me and keep you in solitary confinement. That's the much more tyrannical side of things. You know, one day you're being deplatformed for being a Trump supporter. The next day, now you're being rounded up like animals and thrown into a cage.
Right. I mean, our situation, obviously, Jake, is nothing like yours, but on a smaller scale, this show has been censored and deplatformed. You know, YouTube took us off the air for talking about the 2020 election. So just so you know, we're feeling it on a much smaller scale than you are there. So my question to you now, Jake, is how are you being treated in there?
Well, you know, I've been moved around, Vic, to 13 different prisons in this last 1,060 days I've been incarcerated without a trial. And the treatment in each prison is different. Right now I'm in Washington, D.C. jail, the Gulag, the famous Gulag. I'm 5 miles away from the United States Capitol. I'm in the basement of the jail, practically. I'm on the ground floor, tucked away in a corner with no direct sunlight. I'm in solitary confinement 20 hours a day. And this kind of treatment is it's purposely set up. This environment is designed to try to break your resolve, to try to grind you down so that you take a plea deal, so that you just give up the fight. Basically, they want you to renounce Trump and start groveling before them, these tyrants, so that they give you, you know, some sweetheart kind of deal. And those of us, those Jan 6 patriots that maintain their convictions and refuse to do that, they try to treat us abhorrently and stick us with, you know, in horrible conditions, solitary confinement, and they try to, you know, basically give us, you know, ridiculous sentences. You know, God forbid you're found guilty by a biased D.C. jury pool, you have no chance at a fair trial here. Then they try to stick you with 10, 15, 22 years in prison, like they did for the founder of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio. So, you know, you're sitting at, this is what real life tyranny looks like. This is, you know, not powdered wigs and our founding fathers and stuff. We're talking about tyranny has manifested itself in the United States of America yet again. And the decision is the American people's. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit back idly, or are you going to get involved politically and get these swamp monsters, these D.C. swamp monsters out of office that are letting this go down right underneath their noses?
So we're talking to Jake Lang. He's calling us from a federal penitentiary, D.C. Gulag. He's been there for years with no due process. I just want to make sure I got something right, and then Ken's got a question for you, Jake, but I just want to make sure I got the facts right. You are in solitary 20 hours a day?
Yes. I mean, That's a good side of solitary confinement. When I first was incarcerated under the masquerade of COVID, they had us locked in ourselves 23 hours a day, sometimes 23 hours and 15 minutes a day. We would get out of our cells for a measly 45 minutes to take a shower and make a quick phone call to our family, and then we'd be locked back in our cages. I lived like that for about 6 months. And then they brought it to 22 hours a day. They gave you another couple, you know, little hour out of your cell. So, and I lived like that for another 6 months. So right now, the 20 hours a day, you know, you got to count your blessings, you know, and thank God for everything you have out there in the real world, because we're in here, Jan 6 prisoners on the holiday season here. I missed my third Thanksgiving. This Christmas will be my third Christmas away from home, missing my family. But, you know, you have to count your blessing. You have to remain grateful, and you have to keep that relationship with Jesus as your number one component in your heart, or else you're going to, you know, find yourself pretty lost and lonely if you get put in a situation like this. Or you could overcome it and dig into the spiritual aspect and have remain joyful and remain full of hope. Like I have in my heart, because he gives me that.
Ken, 20 hours a day in solitary, that's what we should do with murderers and scumbags and rapists.
Actual criminals.
Actual criminals, not a guy like Jake. What were we going to ask?
No, that's amazing. Hey, Jake, this is Ken. I just want to let you know, first of all, that on our streams and everybody, our listeners are just, you know, our hearts go out to you and the other J6ers. And guys, you know, just hang in there. We're right behind you. Also, I wanted to know, are you getting the same legal representation that anyone else should expect to get? Are people backing off of you? What's going on with your legal representation right now?
That's a great question, Ken, and thank you for the support from yourself and all the people out there on the streamers. We love you guys, the American people, and this amazing core group of America First people are the reason why it makes, you know, sacrificing for our liberty and standing up for our country worth it at the end of the day. We receive thousands of letters, and people come out of their way to donate and to pray for us and to just be, you know, amazing Americans and stand beside us, and that makes, at the end of the day, that makes us all worth it, knowing that, you know, we're fighting for our freedom and for the freedom of every American out there. We're standing up for everybody. So thank you.
You bet.
Legal representation wise, this is a great topic, because basically the January 6ers were fed to the wolves, most of us, with really liberal court-appointed attorneys that would say to us like, you guys were at the Capitol that day trying to steal our vote. That's what our own attorneys would say to us. And so the disadvantages just mount up against you. And being, you know, in Washington, D.C. with a court-appointed liberal attorney that doesn't really care about you, and in fact, they actually view you as your enemy, is one of the other insurmountable odds that the January 6ers had to go up against. And that's actually why I created the January 6 Legal Fund, one of the organizations that me and the community have come around and has been, invaluable to be able to help people. We've been able to retain, you know, real conservative patriot attorneys for dozens of Jan 6ers and help them out. And if the audience out there wants to donate, you know, to this legal fund and help support us, which would be really appreciated, go to j6legal.org. j6legal.org.
Again, that is the words of Jake Lang on Vic Porcelli's show this morning, set up by his producer Ken Williams. His site again is january6legalfund.org. january6legalfund.org. I've got some additional thoughts I want to share on this. When you listen to what he had to say as to what's been happening to him and the other defendants, keep in mind he was arrested January 2021, continues to sit in jail 3 years later without trial. He also pointed out in part of the interview that we did not carry that he had been shuffled around numerous prisons in that 3 years. But there are a couple other points I want to raise with you. We'll get into that when we continue.
Yeah.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so I want to pick up again on this interview that Vic Porcelli on his program this morning, that was arranged by his producer Ken Williams, with a January 6th defendant, Jake Lane, who had to call out from the prison to the station. We were not allowed to call in. He had been arrested January 2021. Now, he was expecting, along with hundreds of other of the so-called January 6th obstruction cases, to get some kind of ruling from the federal court last week. Well, the three-judge panel spared the Justice Department an immediate disaster by agreeing to permit three challenged January 6th obstruction cases to continue. But even then, the judges, one liberal, two conservatives, raised questions about whether other January 6th obstruction cases might face legitimate challenges. They say at the heart of the conflict is how to measure whether January 6th rioters acted with, quote, corrupt intent. That is a critical element in the crime of obstructing an official proceeding. The judges noted that the requirement of corrupt intent was meant to avoid inadvertently criminalizing traditional protest or lobbying activities that, of course, are part of our American history. If you remember the January 6th video released by the January 6th committee, you were seeing nothing but American protesters, often wearing MAGA caps or Trump supporters, battling against police with their shields to get in to the Capitol. In other cases, they were just walking in, and they weren't doing anything wrong. Oh, they might have ended up putting their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk. That's not a criminal crime. I mean, really, that's a stretch when you look at everything involving Hunter and Joe Biden. But if they didn't deface anything, didn't do any damage, just walked through, how are you going to commit them or convict them of charges that they acted with corrupt intent? So all of this now is hanging in the balance, which means all of these hundreds of January 6th cases, such as Jake Lang, are not going to get a day in trial anytime soon. And something else he pointed out in the interview with Vic this morning. Our own attorneys are so liberal, they're asking or stating, you know, you guys came here to take away and ruin our vote, or words to that effect. That's not an unbiased view of what you expect from your attorney. And that's why they have set up the fund, as you heard Jake mention at the end, January6LegalFund.org. January6LegalFund.org. Now, President Trump is also dealing with January 6th. The special counsel had asked just yesterday, or 2 days ago, yesterday, the Supreme Court immediately to step in, decide whether Trump has immunity from prosecution. Well, they're going to use this standard that it must be shown that you had corrupt intent. I'm not sure they can do it. But then again, it's the Biden Justice Department, so I wouldn't rush to judgment in saying they can't do it. As bad as things are here, and we mentioned this the other day regarding those coming across the border, that some being brought across the border, are you ready for this? Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. If you didn't hear it, this is another shock to what's happening at the border. Some being brought across might be brought across simply because someone in the States needs a heart, an organ of some type, which might well lead to the death of those being brought across. We already know, according to the Chinese state-run Global Times, the Communist Party had tallied more than 40,200 deceased organ donations. They have convinced more than 6.5 million Chinese people to register for organ donations. They use a higher score for those who are more fervent communist and engage in activities which the regime chooses to prize. So if they want you to be an organ donor, if you sign up for it, then they're going to look on you more favorably. And they may act quicker to take your organ while you're still alive, and it might be an organ that would lead to your death. Or if you don't act as they want, they might take it anyway. The 7th China International Organ Donation Conference is underway, this last weekend, and it involves specifically organ donation. They're already dealing in agreements with neighboring country like Kazakhstan, offering to train doctors to basically give them expertise in organ donation. So you assume it's being taken from people that may not want it, but it won't lead to their death. But then keep in mind, China continues to hold thousands of Uyghurs who are Muslim minority, 25 to 50,000 or more, and it's, according to one source, it's very likely many are being held simply to harvest two or three organs. This is not science fiction. It's a fact of the world in China. And it could be the fact of the world in our nation for many of those coming across the country who think they come across the border and they're going to have a new life. Many are going to end up in sex dens, slavery, drug traffic, crime. And then there are those who might just be killed for their organs. There's no way of knowing, of course, and when it happens, it's going to be maybe quick and for those who are involved. Then again, it may not be. If you're looking for anything that says it's not going to continue, as long as the border's open, it will continue. And it could be some of those coming across are actually carrying organs. They've been harvested. Of course, they had to keep them cool and protected. CNN surveys show that Joe Biden is headed to disaster, at least in the view of Byron York, a Washington Examiner.
You know, you set aside all the rest of former President Trump's troubles, and today was an incredibly good day for him in the polls. You're right. There's the Wall Street Journal poll showing a national lead over Biden. This CNN poll with these two key states, Georgia and Michigan, a 10-point lead in Michigan. That's huge. And there was yet another one, which is the big Des Moines Register poll in Iowa, showing him actually extending his already huge lead in the Iowa caucuses, which would give him a big start to getting the Republican nomination. So if you're just looking at polls, today is a very good day for Donald Trump.
Good day for Donald Trump based on those polls just released. Now, again, that was Byron York, Washington Examiner. He's referring to the latest CNN surveys dealing with Georgia and Michigan, considered to be swing states this time around. Trump lost in both of those to Biden. But here's where the CNN survey says they stand as of today. And keep in mind, it's a survey only. It means nothing to Election Day. You can take it with a grain of salt, or you can accept it without question. I suggest you question it. You don't simply form an opinion based on it. But does it indicate a trend? In Georgia, Trump currently, according to CNN and NN, has 49% support, Biden 48%. Much, much tighter. And I will point out to you now, wonder how much of that Georgia vote involves black voters, because I've got another survey dealing with that coming up. Then you move to the other swing state, Michigan, cited in the CNN survey. Biden at 40%, Trump 50%. 50. I would not even know how to explain 10% simply do not seem to know or understand or can make up their mind about either candidate. How can you be that clueless nowadays that you don't have some idea? You may have an idea I don't like, but at least you have an opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion. Well, once again, dealing with just those states of Georgia and Michigan, Byron York, it's been noted to him that, as we pointed out yesterday, the bat call went out to help Joe Biden, and who responds? Batwoman, Clinton.
If you look at the Wall Street Journal Trump-Biden poll, Trump has a huge lead on all the issues like the economy and the border and foreign affairs, things like that. But the one issue where Biden has a really big lead is abortion because of the continuing years-long fallout of the Dobbs decision. So is it possible that Hillary Clinton, who's long been associated with a cause like that, could actually help President Biden in some areas? It's possible. Certainly wouldn't hurt because everything looks terrible for Joe Biden just at this moment. I think that the White House knows all of these things very, very well. So they think, what can President Biden do? And by the way, the poll also showed people deeply concerned about the president's mental capacities and his physical ability to carry out another term as president. So you put all that together, just terrible deficits for Biden on all sorts of issues, terrible deficits on the age, and you think, well, what does he have left? Well, he has the threat of MAGA, and I think that what we're going to see a lot in the campaign are threats that Donald Trump will essentially be the end of American democracy. And there's one polling result from 2022, the midterms, I think, that was really informative, which is in exit polls of people who said the economy was only okay. They didn't think things were going that well for them economically. They still voted for Biden. In part because they were made to fear that American democracy might end if Trump-affiliated candidates won the election.
And, of course, that's the storyline that's being peddled down. Trump will become a dictator. He's already said it, and he's doubled down on it. He has. He said, I'll be a dictator on the first day only. I will strike out everything Biden has messed up. I'll put back into place, remain in Mexico, close our borders, restart the Keystone Pipeline. I'll be a dictator on that day, and then we'll move forward. But all he had to do was mention that word, and right now, the leftist media is running rampant with it. The Atlantic Monthly had a headline on its cover page the other day, If Trump Wins. And everybody is talking about it'll be the end of the democracy entirely. Now, I mentioned that Biden and his team have reached out to get women support. Charlie Hurt, with also a political analyst, pointed out yesterday, if he doesn't have women, he might as well shut it down anyway. The same could be said not only for Biden, but the Democrat Party when it comes to race. There's a new poll from Gen Forward that shows Donald Trump's support among black Americans is surging ahead of the 2024 election. Now, the black vote is a key demo, which has heavily favored Democrats over the past 50 years. In 2020, Trump won 8% of the black vote. Gen Forward polling found that now 17% of black Americans support Trump, almost double by what he had in 2020. And 20% of black Americans said they would vote for someone else other than Trump or Biden. Now, the other thing that came out as you were listening to Byron York of the Washington Examiner, how many voted for Biden, and even acknowledging that the economy was not okay, but they feared Trump would become a dictator, so they thought Biden would be the lesser of two evils. Wonder how they're doing now on groceries and supplies and gasoline. Sure, it's dropping a little bit, but it'll go back up. Trump also has increased his support among Hispanics from 2020 by 4 points, according to the same survey. Gen Forward, 36% of Latinos support Donald Trump. Biden, according to the New York Times, Siena College, losing support among non-white voters 33 points since 2020. And the Democrats losing support among black and Hispanic voters in nearly every election in the last 10 years. In fact, the conclusion is Joe Biden is in the worst position among non-white voters since Walter Mondale in 1984. You remember President Mondale? Oh, that's right. He didn't become president. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.